Can you hear me? You can hear way here. Thank you. Praise the Lord. I thank God for his goodness and his mercy. I thank God for the goodness of Jesus Christ. I was thinking, I was preparing for what I was going to talk about tonight, and I said I won't be long tonight. But I thank God that it's kind of, for Ella Smith, you know, I say this. I thank God that, that my salvation is portable. It goes wherever I go.
Yes.
You know, Amen. It moves when wherever I am, it's there with me. It's not locked down to one particular place, or, you know, it doesn't have to show up at some place, or this and that and the other. It goes wherever I go.
Amen.
I thank God for it. I'm looking tonight in a couple of scriptures, and won't be long, but we'll see. I want to look at probably Galatians to start off with, and let's see, Galatians, yeah. When you study the book of Galatians, as we study Romans tonight, it's about 25 till or whatever. It's good to see Eric up tonight, see. Sister White up tonight, Minister White, Ellen Hammond, Sister Eartha. I'm not sure who iPhone is. Elder Harrison, Elder Tiansla. Yuri Howard's connecting, that's good. Praise God, man. The Russells are here, India's here. I thank God for Tiansla's here. Praise God, Sister Nancy, Elder Jenkins. I thank God that salvation is not difficult. And I ask God to forgive me if any time I have been preaching and teaching and have made it difficult. I didn't make salvation difficult. I just made it seem difficult to have. And I was going through my mind, and I was thinking of all the people. You know, no one's going to be able to ever get to heaven and say the reason why I'm not saved is because Bishop Smith said something.
Yes.
Because there's enough of the gospel and enough of the Holy Spirit. It's not that I've never said anything wrong. It isn't that. I mean, you know, you growing up and you're learning how to preach and you're trying to appropriate the word of God, and you're watching and you're being mentored and everything, surely you're going to say something sometime that probably won't be quite where it needs to be. But, and then sometimes you might say something in the wrong way other than you should say it. And maybe sometimes you should say something. Ella Smith had her cousin came here one time. And the woman, you know, you could say maybe she needed a little bit of, you know, maybe her mind was just a little bit, the Lord, she could probably use a touch from God.
Yes.
But in her heart of hearts, she loved the Lord. I think, yes. And I say all the time, don't ever get off in God. Don't ever let a religious spirit or another spirit hold on to the, as Peter says, stir up your pure mind. Don't ever let any spirit ever come in on you and imitate the Holy Ghost, because it's difficult to get it out.
Yes.
When you know, watch, always, I think John says, you know, many false spirits of Peter might have gone out to the world. And always make sure that when you're listening to the Word of God, hearing the Word of God, when you read commentaries, whatever you read, go back and compare and make sure that's what the gospel says.
Yes.
And ask the Holy Ghost and pray and ask the Holy Ghost to give you the revelation. The Holy Ghost is interpretation, and the Holy Ghost is revelation of the Word of God. And watch and be careful about what you hear. And especially for people who are trying to go forth in the Spirit. For many false spirits have gone out to the world, especially people who are trying to operate in the gifts and who are trying to dream dreams and who are trying to do whatever. Be very careful, because I've seen in my lifetime many people who have allowed some other spirit to come in, and they have, it's like they get to the point where they're so spiritual that they can't see that you're doing some things that are just not God. And you'll almost be to the point of if you let a real religious spirit come in, you know, people, they are mass murderers who started off thinking they were hearing from God.
Yes.
There are people who've done a lot of evil spirits, and they can get you on their side. I mean, an evil spirit got in Judas and got him to betray Jesus.
Yeah.
An evil spirit can come in and ride in and justify everything it's doing and get you to do something that, you know, that doesn't match common sense. So in your so remember always, the Holy Ghost always makes common sense, and don't let people get you to be weird.
Yes.
And have you do weird things, and have you, you know, and watch out for people who are always trying to make you try your faith. Faith is a natural thing. Mm. God moves because you have faith, and when you have faith, it is. I don't think it's something that you necessarily just have to try. Although sometimes you say, okay, I'm just going to step out on faith. There's nothing wrong with that. We all do it, but be careful how we do it. Don't let people get you to push you to the point where you push your faith to some place that you can't hear the Spirit saying, come back.
Yes.
You know, you stretched it to the limit of what makes common sense.
Yes.
Because there's no one in the universe who has more common sense than the Holy Ghost.
Right, yes.
And if what you're doing doesn't look like it's going to have some common sense, although I know God's a miracle worker, and so, you know, and the Lord will move. But watch when, you know, when things start to become so, you know, you have to balance things and see if the Spirit is moving or not. And you have to check them with the Word of God. So I say all that to say this. I was telling you about her cousin. And so when her cousin came, she was into dreaming dreams and doing a lot of things. And, you know, and I'd always been taught, you know, watch out for dreamers. Don't believe in dreams and don't do all these things or whatever. And, I mean, I was hardcore. And I still believe that you need to be careful about people who dream dreams and do things like that. But I was so dogmatic about it until, you know, I'm not saying I completely ran off, but I probably did a pretty good job of it. There, you know, when someone comes and says that the Lord is doing this in their life or doing that in their life, I've learned now, give them a chance.
Yeah.
Do like Gamaliel said, you know, if it's the Lord, then give the Holy Ghost an opportunity to work it out.
Yeah.
I mean, to change it or do whatever. Yeah. And not for me to rush in all of a sudden and say, hey, you know, that can't be God.
Yeah.
So when I say that, in the course of time that I've been preaching, yeah, there have probably been a lot of things, hopefully not so many, that I was probably too hard about, too dogmatic about, and all this and whatever. And so, you know, people might have left or did whatever because of what I said or whatever. And I was probably wrong to say it. Now, here again, they can't get to heaven and say they're not saved because of me.
Yeah.
Because Christ didn't make any errors.
No, he didn't.
And for every error I've made, they can find a church somewhere that can tell them the truth.
That's right.
But we endeavor to make sure that we're on the right track. So I'm saying, when I said, you know, my salvation is portable, it goes where the Holy Ghost is in me, he goes wherever I go.
Yes.
And David wrote one place, he said, if I ascend into heaven, yeah. You know, the Lord would be there, and if I made my bed in hell, the Lord would be there. And he talks about that. So the reason why I'm saying this is because in Galatians, the Galatian saints, in Romans, when you read it and you look at the commentary in Romans, there are two things that Paul says is a problem, that God has a problem with. One is self-righteousness, and the other one is unrighteousness, and both of them are equal.
Yes.
And self-righteousness lends itself to all the things that we add to God and put in our worship and in our service that we think would be good, or they might be good for us. For example, if I say to Elder Smith, everything that I need to do in the course of the day, some people are so organized, I might need to make myself a list and check it off all day long.
Oh, yeah.
I can't go to everybody I see and say to them, your day would be messed up unless you make a list.
Yes, that's right.
It works for me.
Yes.
And I need it, and it's good. But I can't make that be for everybody.
Yes.
It's the same way in God.
Yeah.
There are some things in God we absolutely have to have. You must believe in Christ's death, burial, and resurrection and ascension. And I don't mean you must just accept it as being a logical fact. No, that has got to, it is a reality already, but it has to become a reality to you. Such that any behavior or anything you do in the course of life, immediately it flashes back to you, just like you know if you touch a hot stove, it will burn, or if you cut yourself, you will bleed. Yes. You need to have enough faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ to know that if I leave Christ, I will go to hell.
Yes.
Without a doubt. There's no ifs, ands, buts about it. There's no excuse I can make. There's no way I can make it. If I find myself in a situation where I can't worship God here, I need to find some place where I can, because I've got to go to heaven.
Yes, yes.
You got to make up your mind about that.
Yes.
But we have to avoid, as we're preaching and teaching and winning people to Christ. In Galatia, Paul had gone down and preached the gospel to the saints in Galatia. He had preached Christ's death, burial, and resurrection and ascension, and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And then after he had done that, the Jewish believers came in, and I understand why they said what they said to some degree, because it's like they had grown up in the Jewish church all their life, and for them, this was necessary to be saved, or it's the way that they had come, and then, you know, for them. But when they told the Galatian saints they also need to come under the law and be circumcised, what they were really saying was, Christ is not enough.
Yeah.
They were saying, you need Christ, but you also need this.
This, yes.
And that made him not the only sacrifice.
Yes.
Anytime you add to the gospel and you say to me, well, you know, you say you're saved, but now you need to wear a tie. I'm a firm believer in wearing ties, but, you know, that's the way I grew up. I'm wearing them less now. And I'm not knocking wearing them. It's a fashion. It is not salvation.
Yes.
I'm a firm believer that a person, you know, when it comes to dress and appearance, there is what's respectful and there's what's not.
Yeah.
But it's not salvation.
Yes.
It's the same thing in a lot of other things we do. So when the Galatian saints came down, so Paul said something about them, and I want to look in Galatians 3. And I'm going to use this in two ways, and then I'm going to finish for the night, and you can go have a fish fry. Oh, foolish Galatians, he writes in Galatians 3 and 1, who has cast an evil spell? Let me go back to King James for a moment, because right now I'm reading in New Living Testament. Oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you or cast a spell on you or caused you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth crucified among you? This only would I learn of you, receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, by the hearing of faith. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? And if you read it in the New and Living Testament, which is a lot easier to understand, he says, O foolish Galatians, who hath cast this evil spell on you? For the meaning of Christ's death was made clear to you, as if you had seen a picture of his death on the cross. He says, I told you, being Gentiles, exactly what his death was all about. I told you how we were born in sin and the wages of sin was death.
Yeah.
And I explained to you so well, like I did in Romans, that when we were baptized into Christ, we were baptized into his death. We became partakers of his death, because the only way to go free from sin is to die.
Yes. Yeah.
We need to, you know, and I'm not sure that even all the preachers sometimes when I'm preaching this understand that the only way to go free from sin is to die.
Yes.
It's not to tarry. It's not to run around the building. It's not even to speak in tongues. It's to die.
Yes, yes.
The only way to go free from sin is to die. Yes. It's an irreparable thing. So then God, in order for us to have life, sent someone to die in our place. It's as if I was on death row and someone came and said, I'll die in this place. Well, the person who takes my place can't be in the sentence of death themselves. And Christ, God's Son, who was not born in sin and not sentenced to death, he came and died in my place, and not for me only, but everybody else who would allow him to die in their place, because he's sinless.
Yes.
So then Paul has explained to them that through Jesus Christ, they're saved, and he's explained to them of who the true God is, and he has explained to them not only that Christ died on the cross of Calvary, but he was buried. And all of the things you read in Romans about how he talks about, like as we were baptized into his death, and we were baptized into his resurrection, into newness of life, to the Galatian saints, he has said the same, because the way of salvation is the same whether you're in Genesis or whether you're in Revelation.
Yes, that's right.
It is that the Holy Ghost is poured out on the Gentiles later in the latter reign, like it was in the Jews, which is the former reign.
Yes.
But the way of salvation was the same for Abraham as it is for me.
Yes.
This is why he understood that Isaac, if he had offered him as a sacrifice, would have a resurrection.
Yes.
It wasn't that God just told him, I'm going to resurrect your son. God told him, I'm going to resurrect my son.
Yes. Amen.
And Abraham knew this. So when it says that Paul has given them the gospel of Jesus Christ, this is the same gospel we preach. And if you're not a good salvation preacher, you need to become one.
Yeah, amen.
We can come up with all kinds of colorful sermons that will make people just love hearing us preach. And we can entertain them all day long. I can get in the Word of God and go back and start talking about David and Joab and all those people. And we can get to a point where you'd rather hear me preach that than watch Pirates of the Caribbean. But it won't save you. Unless I bring it around to your understanding why David did what he did.
Yes.
And he did it because Christ was going to come in his lineage.
What?
So then Paul says to the Galatian saints, he says, the salvation that I've given you, he says, you know, you didn't even have to learn the law. I didn't even tell you about the law.
Yeah.
I didn't tell you you had to bring an ox. I didn't tell you you had to bring a turtle dove. I didn't tell you you had to do any of these things. The thing that I told you about was when you had to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and believe that God the Father had raised him from the dead.
Yes.
And when you believe this to the point of repenting for your sins and asking God to forgive you and asking the Lord to save you, God would save you.
Amen.
He said the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary was enough to save you.
Yes.
And this is why even when he talks in Romans and he says to them, if you will confess the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's writing in the book in the 10th chapter where he's talking to the Jewish believers that he says, I want them saved.
Yes.
He says, if I could just get my Jewish brothers to confess the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he says that, it's like for all of us in computers, when he says that, or when we have scriptures, references to our scriptures, when he says, if I can get you to confess the Lord Jesus Christ, immediately you should shift over to Philippians, the second chapter, and find out why he's Lord.
Yes, yes.
He's Lord because he made himself found fashion as a man and became humble unto death. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And for that, God has given him a name above every other name, that every knee should bow and every tongue should confess of things in earth and things beneath the earth.
Yes.
And things above, and that he should be called Lord to the glory of the Father. So if you can confess that he is Lord, that means you have confessed in his death, burial, and resurrection.
Yes, amen.
And believe that God the Father has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's how I'm saved. It's how you're saved.
Yes.
It's how everybody else is saved.
Yes.
So when Paul gets down to Galatia, the Galatian saints have decided, I need Jesus, but I need circumcision too.
Yes.
It's like the people who say you're not saved until you're baptized in water.
Yes.
But you believe on Christ. Yeah, but you ain't been buried in his name.
Yeah,
but I believe in Christ. Yeah, but you haven't tarried for the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
But I believe, and then the list goes on. And then we add in all the other things that come along with it. So he said in this, he's telling the Galatians things. He says when you got saved, he says it was a spiritual thing.
Yes.
So many places between Jesus and Paul and David and all the writers. This is why Solomon writes, Chandra. Solomon, when he's praying in the temple and he's saying to God, he knows that even in that time, he's aware before all these women lead him off of the power of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
And he makes this pledge to God. And he knows that in the temple is the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat.
Yeah, yeah.
And he knows that in there is the Ten Commandments and Aaron's rod that budded and the manna. And he asked God, he says, if they can't make it to the temple because they're out fighting a war, if they just look towards Jerusalem, knowing that's where God comes, will you help them?
Yeah, that's right.
And the Lord said, I'll do that.
Yes. Yes.
He said, if they get carried away as captives somewhere, and they just look towards God, that meant that they couldn't bring a lamb, and they couldn't bring an ox, and they couldn't do anything. It had to be in the spirit, even though they were under the law. And God said, if they will do that, he said, I'll deliver them.
Yes.
He says, if it's their fault that they're wrong, and they turn towards the temple, what will you do? And God said, I'll deliver them.
Yeah.
Then later on, Jesus comes to the woman at the well, and he says the same thing to her. She says, do I need to go to the mountain, or do I need to go to Jerusalem? He says, the time has come, you don't have to go to either one.
Lord,
he says, but you do have to pray in the Spirit.
Yes.
He says you do have to have that. So here we go with the Galatian saints. And here comes the Judaizers, and they say to them, you got to do this, and you got to do that. And Paul makes this point, and one of them, when he looks at it, and there's another one I want to look at, he says to them, you began in the Spirit.
Yeah.
I was saved in the Spirit. And I had to really come to terms with this. Minister Hammond's on, Elder Hammond's on. I had to really come to terms with where I was and what I was and what I was doing when the Lord saved me.
Yes.
And how he and how the change came in my life, not because I quit doing anything, because we have it all wrong. Some people want to make a matter of being saved. You want to quit doing everything in order to be saved, yes. And you have it backwards. When the Lord saves you real good, then you stop doing some things.
Yeah.
You can stop doing a lot of things and still not be saved. And that's when you come in and say to us, well, I'm working on it. I'm trying to cut back. I'm trying to, no, you know, and I can appreciate it. But it would be so much easier if you just try working on believing in Christ.
Yes, yeah.
Maybe what we need to say when they say, I'm trying to stop drinking, maybe instead of us saying, well, you just need to do this routine or whatever, maybe we need to say, well, are you sober right now? Well, let's talk about Jesus.
Jesus, yeah. That's right.
What you need is more word.
Yeah.
What we need to solve everything we have going on is more Christ.
Yeah.
Every situation that we have, we just need
more Christ.
It's like the song that Mary woman sings, I need a little more Jesus.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know much about her song, but it is true. What we need is more Christ.
Yes.
So Paul says to them in another place, he says, you need to stand fast. Where's the other one at? I was reading it the other day, I think it's in about 5. And he tells them that they need to stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has set them free. They need to, in 5:1, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has set you free. In other words, you need to make up your mind that you're free in Christ and stay in that. This is a doctrine that Paul talks about a lot, because even in Ephesians, he warns them about being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine.
Yes.
And all the things that come in their mood. I don't know a lot about a lot of other people's religions. I'm not trying to know. I don't even know a lot about other people's churches. I'm not trying to know that anymore.
Yeah.
I used to scope them out, let somebody come in and tell me everything was wrong with everybody. What I am trying to know a whole lot about is being in Christ.
Yes, amen.
What I am trying to make myself secure in and make myself all right about is being in Christ.
Christ, yes.
Standing in that. Jesus told him when he came along, the Jewish believers had them doing all kinds of things. And he told them when he came along, he says, the Jewish believers, he told them, he says, you have them doing more things that you're not even doing yourself.
Yes.
And that's what he told them. He says, take my yoke upon you. In other words, take what I have upon you and learn of me. You'll find that my yoke is easy. It is so easy to be saved that we'll let people be saved and bring them to Christ if we're not busy loading on things. And then we have this matter of what's holy and what's not. Holiness is what I am.
Yes.
And holiness is a part of me just like the Holy Spirit is a part of me.
Yes.
It's not my clothes. My clothes are never holy.
Right, yes.
They are practical for me, respectable for me, but they're not holy.
Right.
They're not vestments that we bless. We don't anoint them.
No.
When I grow up, God's going to give me a whole new wardrobe.
Yes.
I'm not worried about having to, pick them out, because he already has what's practical for me in heaven. And then you said, well, how many robes will I have? Well, the children of Israel could make it through 40 years on the natural earth without their clothes wearing out. My robes should last.
Yes, yes.
Whatever it is I'm wearing.
Yes.
But holiness is not my clothes. It's not. And although there is a behavior that becomes holiness, and holiness can be seen in my lifestyle, the way I live, holiness is still within. It's not something that I put on. Because I can act real holy at times and act like the devil at others.
Yeah, amen.
If my holiness is only an act. So then when Paul talks about this and with the Galatians and all the things, what he's saying is you really, you know, you got saved in the spirit. You don't really need to start doing the things that you're watching the Jewish people do to stay saved.
Yes, he says
you don't start have, you know, you don't have to start bowing like they're doing and bobbing and weaving and doing all these things. He says what saved you was the Holy Ghost. You don't have to put on all these things now to be saved.
Is there, and I say this
because somebody's gonna say, well, then I can wear whatever I want to wear, do whatever I want to do. You can, as long as what you're wearing is not sinful.
Yes.
There is a point where your dress becomes sinful.
Yes.
There's a point where your attitude becomes sinful.
Yes.
There's a point where your language becomes sinful.
Yes.
There's a point where your behavior becomes sinful.
Yes.
There's a point where your attitude becomes sinful.
Yes.
There's a point where your mind becomes sinful. Those are things that you have to work out between you and God. And the Word of God describes them, but am I able to describe exactly what you're supposed to wear? Now I'm giving you a law, but there is a point where you're supposed to wear things that are right before God.
Yes.
But Jesus said, this is easy. You know, this is not one of these things that you know that you that's difficult for you. I like it when I'm reading. There's one more I want to look at, and let's see where this one is. Oh, yeah. It's in Colossians 20. Colossians 2 and 20. I'm sorry, Colossians 2 and 20. If ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? If you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why are you subject to ordinances? Sometimes I have seen people get carried away. When I told you before, when I was growing up, in the Baptist church, but in the Baptist church, women couldn't preach. And not only could women not preach, women couldn't even clean the pulpit area. They weren't allowed to walk in at any time. Even if the church was empty, they couldn't go up there. It was only a step up. It wasn't as big as this pulpit area we have right here. But women couldn't go in it. They couldn't dust the pulpit off. They still have. I went to my cousin's funeral a couple months ago, whenever it was, and they still have a little stand down there on the floor where women, if they're going to do anything, speak or do anything, they still have to stand. And there, the pulpit in that church is made out of the same kind of wood as made in here.
Yep.
Ain't nothing holy about the wood, nor the carpet, nor anything that has anything else to do with it. It's just a pulpit.
Yep.
So, well, do you need to respect the house of God?
Yes.
You know why? You have to respect my own house.
Yes.
There's not so many things you can do in my house.
That's right.
We ask you not to track mud through my house.
Yeah.
Don't come in and break my TV in my house. don't do this in my house. And don't in my house. But it's the house of God. It is. And does it need to be taken care of? It does.
Yes.
But don't make it a spiritual thing. You should pick up paper on the floor because you ought to pick up paper on the floor in your own house.
Yes.
But don't make it be if somebody comes in and steps on a piece of paper, they ain't got no Holy Ghost. No, they just didn't see the paper. And if they didn't pick it up, they got the Holy Ghost, they just nasty.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of them.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure whether or not I'd rather you be nasty by not picking up paper or I'd rather you have a nasty attitude. Either way,
there's
a problem. But that doesn't save you. Do you need to learn to take care of the house of God? You do.
Yes.
I used to worry about all these windows in here. We haven't ever had a full congregation here since we've been here, and I still wonder about them sometimes. It's tempered glass. None has never been broken. But I suspect at some point in time, as God fills up this church, probably one day one will get broken. But I'm not going to condemn somebody to hell because a window got broken.
Yes.
You go, and things wear out. You go in the bathroom. And all of a sudden, a toilet paper holder is pulled off the wall. Well, you'd prefer it wouldn't, but I'm not going to say, the whole church is going to hell because the toilet paper roll got pulled off. And I'm not going to say the person that pulled it off, isn't. I'm not going to say they're not safe. Matter of fact, I hope they're real safe because I'm going to ask them to replace it.
Yeah.
Those are things that we just do and add on.
Yeah.
And make it, and we just, I add those, and there's so many more.
Yes.
That we do and say. We say things, like I said, I've heard it said in so many places, if you saved, you'll have a dance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need to stop saying that. Because that's just not in the Bible anywhere. Oh, the people in the Bible did dance, but it was not significant, because, to be honest with you, the prophet Baal danced all day. And they shouldn't have the Holy Ghost. Do Holy Ghost filled people dance? They do.
Yes.
Should they? Well, if that's what the Lord gives you, yeah, you should. Mm-hmm. Am I not? No, I'm not. Yes. But I'm not saying it means you're saved or not saved.
That's right. Yes.
It is. You know, when you get up and tell people like that, tell people things like, "Well, now if you're saved, you'll do this." Well, now if you're, you know, you're challenging. And I can say to you, "Well, now if you're saved, let's go down a long list of what you are. Maybe I should have this 200 questionnaire." And we should check them off and see if you fit all of them. It's like you do when you go to the doctor. Mm-hmm. And see if you fit all of them.
Yes.
No, I'm saved because I've been washed.
Yes.
And I'm saved because I've been cleansed. And I'm saved because I'm crucified with Christ and resurrected with Him. And it has made a difference that you can see.
Yes.
But it doesn't necessarily mean that I'll do all the things that somebody else has saved us. But there is one thing we will do. We will obey God.
Yes, yes.
That we will do.
That we will do.
Because a lot of all the things that people do, remember I was telling you about Paul's cousin? A lot of all the things that people do, they get that from folk who tell them, if you're saved, you will do this.
Yes.
And if you're saved, you will do that. And if you're saved, you will be here. And if you're saved, you'll be there. I told you, my salvation is where it's portable. It's wherever I am. I'm saved. No, whatever point I go to on earth, I am saved because God dwells in me.
Yes.
He says in this, let me finish. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, from the elements of the world, from the things of the world. In other words, when he says this, and someone might read a commentary, they might say something a little different on it, but what does it mean to me? It means that the world doesn't rule me, God does.
Yes.
The rudiments of the world, the way of the world, the elements of the world, the small things, the elemental things that the world does that causes me to change my attitude. It's the principle that says that, you know, it's what causes people to seek revenge. It's what causes people to take on a cause in the earth when something happens instead of giving it to God.
Yes, yeah.
I don't have a problem with social movements and things. I think they're necessary. I think the movement with Black Lives Matter and many other, I think they're necessary. But they take on a life that shouldn't last forever.
Yes. Yeah.
At some point in time, things are supposed to be resolved, and those things come about because of God. Mm-hmm. It says in this, if you, why then are you subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to be perished with the using. And when Paul writes this to the saints in Colossians, he's talking about because of the same thing as in Romans, with the meat given from idols, the things that came from them. You know, there's just so many things. What did somebody say one time? It was a problem one time with us eating at the buffets and casinos. Well, I was only going to the buffet. I later on got to the point where I didn't really want to go to buffets and casinos because it just didn't like this casino atmosphere. I don't even walk to the casino on ships, and I'm not afraid that I'm going to be thrown in the pool of Libra or playing blackjack or doing anything. I just don't like the atmosphere. Why don't you like the atmosphere? Because of the holiness in me.
Yes.
But if you walk through there, I'm not going to find you and say, "Oh my God. You walked through the casino. How did you do that? Didn't that just tear up your righteous soul?"
Yeah.
No, it was less traffic going through the casino than it was going through the other deck. So I came through the casino. But you know, while I was on my way through there, I didn't play the roulette wheel. And I didn't do any of that stuff.
Yeah.
I didn't do any of those things. I'm just here. Well, sooner or later, you're going to say to me, "How are you out cruising? And how are you this? And how are you doing all these things? You see how you had them?"
Yes, yes.
It gets to a point. Well, Bishop Smith, where are you going with all this? Let's make it easy for people to be saved. Let's let them repent of their sins and come out and be saved just like we are.
Yes.
Because when you add on all the other things we do, the righteousness and the holiness that we've learned to live in, that's just part of that yoke that makes it easy to be in Christ.
Yes.
It is easier to be in Christ and be holy than it is to be in Christ and not be.
Yes,
it's easier to live holy in Christ and to hold on to Christ than it is not to.
Right, yes.
But all the things we do and we pile on the people immediately when they come into the house of God, like, you know, I wish I had had more patience. Maybe whatever she was going through, when God sent her here, if I had more patience, maybe the Spirit would have turned her around.
Oh, yeah.
But I was in a hurry to make her be like us.
Yes, yes, yes.
Maybe if I, you know, if I'd have left her with what she had, and I mean, and then every time she walked in here, I, you know, I'd zap on it and you can't do that. And she wasn't the only one I've done like that. And, you know, immediately because, you know, is it a problem? It is a problem, but I could have left it alone.
Yeah.
And given God an opportunity, as long as they were willing to sit and listen to us preach and listen to us do what we do, I could have given God an opportunity to touch her instead of me trying to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
When these folk from the Judaizers, the Jews came down, they were trying to turn these people in Galatians into being like them. They were trying to do it.
Yeah.
This is how you're going to call yourself serving our God. This is what you must do.
Yeah.
You're going to call yourself having our God. This is how you must live. Instead of God giving God an opportunity to turn them around,
yes,
and work things with them and pull them out of what they're in, which is why we have Bible study.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we would just get saved and never come back.
Yeah, that's right.
There's so many people that if they'll come to God and they'll just listen to us preach and teach, we need to just leave them where they are. As long as they will sit there and listen to us preach and teach, I've done it so many times.
Yes.
And when I go through them in my mind, I wish I could get every one of them back and get them just to let me preach to them a little while longer, and I'd be so much more gentle.
Yes.
And I'd have so much more patience with them, and I'd be so much easier, and I would let God turn them around. I forgot how the Lord saved me,
Yes.
There was no rush to stop me from doing what I was doing. The pastor I got saved of, Elder Kelly, Bishop Kelly later on, there was no rush. He let the Lord just work his will in me.
Yeah.
It wasn't until later, until I came over here, where everything got in a hurry.
Yeah.
But there's so many people. Like I said, she wasn't the only one. Even when I was in Baumhole, I can remember the people who came to church in Baumhole, and I was in this big rush to make everybody holy, holy, holy overnight. I should have been satisfied if they would just be saved and keep coming.
Yes.
And given them, and I should have really loved it because they sit there and allow the word of God to be given to them little by little, line by line, precept by precept, and go on in God. Instead of trying to get them to take this great big giant sized portion overnight.
Yes, yeah.
It's one of the reasons sometimes why I'm not in a big hurry for people to follow us to big meetings. Because you got someone who's just barely coming and just hearing the word of God, and it's just not there.
Yeah.
Sometimes, it's like Paul says, but you know, the younger people in Christ, you have to take them. They're young in Christ. You have to take time.
Yes.
So when Paul goes out to Galatian saints, he asks them. He says, and also in Colossians, all of them, he says, you need to stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has set you free. What had he set them free from? Idolatry.
Yes.
He had set them free from the world. He set them free from sin. He brought them out. He says, you need to stand in that and don't let anybody tell you that if you don't do what they're doing, you're not free.
Yeah.
Don't let anybody tell you. Sit up and say to you, where's your faith? Mm-hmm. And try your faith and do all those things. When we have people come, if they haven't been in church for 6 months, when they do show up, good.
Yes.
Be glad to see them.
Yeah.
Tell them, hey, you know, I'm so glad you're back. I'm so glad you're here. It's good to see you today. Wonderful. If they want prayer, pray for them.
Yes.
And don't call them out.
Yes.
Unless they want to be prayed for.
Yeah.
And go on in God, because the word of God is kind.
Yes.
And the word of God is gentle. Last scripture tonight is in James. Y'all know, you know I like James, so that's what we're teaching right now. So I thank God for it. Says it's the part in here, about chapter 8. And I read it to you here, I promise all the time. So where it says the word of God is first of all pure. The things that come out are first of all pure.
3:17.
Okay, 3:17. I knew it was in there somewhere. I'm looking right at it and I still can't see it. Who is a wise man and dude with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his work and meekness of wisdom. Who is a wise man among you? Endued with knowledge among you, and let him show out of a good conversation his works and meekness with wisdom. And then he talks about bitter envy and strife and all that, but tonight I just want you to go down to 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in the peace of them that make peace. The wisdom of them, and I read this all the time in Proverbs because it is such a strong point in my life. The wisdom from above is first of all pure. In other words, it has the right motive. I'm finishing for tonight. You know, when you get wisdom from God, it has the right motive.
Yes.
It, when God is telling you what to do, it has the right motive.
Yes.
It's never about me. It's about God's will being
done. Yes.
And there's no duality. I guess I use the right word, Chandra. There's no duality where it's God. I'm doing God's will, but it really works for me.
Yes.
You know, it's what I want to do. And I'm saying, but it's not wrong in God. Will God permit it? But it's what I want to do. That's not pure. What's pure is when I decide I'm going to do this because that's what God wants done. And I'd like to see this. And then I ask the Lord. And I wait for the Lord. And the Lord says to me, no, not really. Then I need to leave that alone.
Yes.
Because the word of God, I would like to say this to them and that to them. But the wisdom that comes from God is first of all pure. And then if you use the word pure, you have to add into it honest. And I'm so concerned about how not honest. I won't say dishonest. Not honest. Mm-hmm. People are who in God. And when I say that, if I say dishonest, you'll say that I'm saying they're some kind of crook. I'm not saying that. I'm saying they don't deal honestly.
Yes.
All the time. They don't even deal honestly with themselves.
Yes.
Well, I say, you're saying they're not saved? No, they are saved.
Yes.
But it limits, it has a dampening effect on how effective they are in God, because the wisdom that comes from above isn't about me. It's first of all pure. If it comes from God, if Elder Smith is asking me about something and I'm seeking God for wisdom, it isn't about what I want. It's about, I ask God. I'm saying, what is right?
Yes.
What is right? When God speaks to you, he will say to me sometimes, you know what, you're wrong about such and such, or you need to consider this, or what Elder Smith asked you is not that bad. And Elder Smith will have moved on and said, well, you know, if you really don't want to do this, whatever. And then the Lord will speak to me later on, he'll say to me, you know, that wasn't too much.
Mm.
And, you know, you need to reconsider that and look at it. And I said, but Lord, you know, that's not something I'm crazy about. He says, yes, but that would just help things. That would do this and that would do that or whatever.
Yes.
Because God always knows. If we would seek God instead of people, oh!
Jesus, help me.
If we would try to have the wisdom that is of God and not of people. He says in this, it's first of all pure, then peaceable. Does it bring peace? When you decide to do what you're doing.
Yes.
Or, you know, because the opposite of this is 16, where envy and strife is, there's confusion in every evil work.
Yes.
And you just decide, I want this done, I'm going to do it.
Yes.
And you never consider who else is involved, what else is involved, why is involved. It's what you want.
What you want.
And then you want to stamp God on it.
Yeah.
And say, if you don't go along with it, you can't be in God.
Yes.
And you ain't got much Holy Ghost, and you're weak, and you're this, and you're that. You just come with all kinds of, but really the person who wants to do this is you. And you're going to have, you know, you're gonna make it look like God.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to say God won't come in and work with it to a degree.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is, it's what you want, and so there's only so much movement of God. Sometimes we start things. Sometimes we start things. And God, because he says so in Jeremiah, I got my Jeremiah expert up there. Yeah, there's Ella Russell up there. Sometimes we start things.
Yes.
And God, for his great name's sake, yes, will come in and not let them fall apart, because he doesn't want the people who know that we're God, we're God's people. He doesn't want the people who are not in God to say that God has failed us. So God will come in, he says, like he says in Jeremiah, and for his great name's sake, so that the heathens won't say that he's not with his people, even though they're the ones doing this, God will prop it up. For his great name's sake. He props us up all the time. And keeps people from seeing just how raggedy we sometimes are. For his great name's sake. Since we come in the name of God, he, as he says, he sanctifies his name. And he builds up his name. And it's not because we're great, it's because he's great. Sometimes God will heal on a message that doesn't say too much of anything, but there's a need in the building for God to heal. And God will have mercy, and God will move. And God will move by the Spirit. And it's not because the person who's up has all this great power. It's because there's a need and God has mercy. So he says it is first of all pure. Then if it comes from God, if you're working with people, you say, Lord, what shall I do? What brings peace? Then it's gentle. Gentle. God has always been very gentle with me. Remember I said about Paul's cousin? I wasn't gentle. I didn't rebuke up and down, but I taught in such a way that it was always attacking these dreams. Because I didn't like it. And I didn't want it to spread through the church. I didn't like it. And I didn't want it to spread through the church. I should have realized that the Holy Ghost is in the church, and the Holy Ghost was able to contain what else you had. I should have figured that out. That the Holy Ghost was in the church, and the Holy Ghost, if out of all the Spirit, he was able to take care of whatever she had. And perhaps he brought her here for just such a time as that to heal her mind and deliver. And I feel sorry for it to this day. And I tell God, if you ever give me another chance like that, I will be more gentle, and I will look for wisdom to come down from above. There are so many people by the wayside, and we like to have the scripture about the Good Samaritan. And we talk about all the people who passed by this man on the road. And we pass by people every day with our sanctified selves. And we're in our routine and in our wholeness. And we're just like them. And we have a reason for not picking them up. And we feel justified about it. And we think we're holy and spiritual because we do. But if we follow the Spirit, we'd be like the Samaritan man who says, my God, the man's wounded. I should have seen the woman's wounded. And I should have asked God, what do we do instead of, no, I didn't need to ask God. Hey, look, I'm a teacher. I got these Christian education outlines. I've been taught this forever. I know exactly what to do with a dreamer. I know how to come at a dreamer. I know what to do with a dreamer. No, I don't. I know what to do with them now. If a man like wisdom, let him ask God. It's gentle and easy to be entreated. When you are getting wisdom from God and you give it to people, it's full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. It's full of mercy. You know, you don't front people off in front of people, and you don't embarrass them, and you don't, there's so many things you don't do. If you're hearing from God, God can embarrass every one of us. Every time we wake up, we can wake up with an embarrassing moment. Because God has seen everything we've ever done. And he could and he could call us stupid and be so qualified to do it. But all these things we do this and say, well, what does this scripture have to do with these burdens? We put them on people and tell them with our ineptitude that they are not saved because they're not this. And they're not saved without being that. Now look, sin is sin.
Sin is sin, yes.
We're not saying, like call up appears and do everything. But Jesus was saying to them, you laden all these things on them. No wonder they don't want to be Jewish. No wonder they don't want to come to the temple. No wonder they don't want to come along with us. No wonder they don't want to follow. No wonder they don't want the Lord. No wonder they don't want to be where you are.
Yes.
Some people have a mindset of church these days, and that's why the church has made a radical shift. When I look at the young people in churches today and I see where they are, they don't even resemble the traditional church. You say, well, are the people there saved? I'm going to say they are.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that while we're in the traditional church, sit back and out in our darkened corners and judge everybody and then all this, there's a gap between us.
Yes.
Between what's traditional and what is contemporary. And there shouldn't be.
No.
But Christ and the gospel and the Holy Ghost moved on. And he kept the traditional people saved, but he just moved on.
Yes.
And went and gathered all the people, just like the Jews sitting up in Jerusalem, wouldn't go out. God just had some people to go out and just gather all and let them right there in Jerusalem.
Yes, that's right.
Right there among themselves, sitting right there in Jerusalem.
Yes.
While he went out, while Paul and all the people who went out to the Gentiles, they saved the whole world at that time.
Yes.
While the little clump of people, you know, when we were in the upper room, we were there when the Holy Ghost fell. Yes, and you're still sitting two doors down from where the Holy Ghost fell. and the Lord, yes.
Yes, that's true.
While others have gone out,
yes,
and they're preaching, they preached in Galatia, and they preached in Corinth, yes. And they've been in Ephesus, and they've been in Thessalonica,
yes.
And they've been in Philippi,
yes.
And they've been all over, and
yes.
They've been here in Antioch, and throughout what is now Turkey,
yes.
What's now Istanbul, all those places they preached all over. You're still sitting here in Jerusalem.
Yes. Right.
And the Lord is moving.
Yes.
Well, for my part and all my shortcomings, I ask God to forgive me.
Yes.
And send somebody else like that. See what I'll do something different. Mm. And see if I'll hold on to all the rituals and things I've learned. I'll see will I go to the Word of God and see won't God give me a word for everybody standing.
Amen.
Take my yoke upon you. When Jesus says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light, being saved is easy.
Yes.
Keeping up pretense is hard.
Yes.
It is difficult to do, but being saved is easy. If thou wilt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead. And we seem to want to. And we seem to not want to trust the Word of God that when it says that, that's enough. But when it says believe in my heart, it means believe with all with my
whole heart.
Yes.
Yes.
You know, we act like that's not enough.
Yes.
We're like Israel in the wilderness.
Yeah.
They were begging for meat, begging for quail and everything else. Like the manna was not enough. It had everything they needed. And it wasn't like they didn't have meat. The people had cows, sheep, oxen. So they were offering sacrifices. No, because some of them had blemishes. Those they could eat. Some of them were more than a year old. They could eat those. They had lots of them that didn't even qualify to be sacrificed. Father, we come before you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you're with us wherever we go, Lord, because you dwell in us by your Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray, Lord, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven, O God. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Lord, lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. Lord, lead us and guide us and keep us from the evil. Lord, show us the way that we should go in the earth, O God. Lord, thou art our God. Lord, give us the wisdom and revelation of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. Lord, cause us to, Lord, seek wisdom that is from above, that is first of all pure and peaceful, gentle and kind and easy to be entreated. Lord, make us such, Lord, that we would witness and tell people about you in such a way, Lord, they would come and see. In the name of Jesus. And Lord, I pray, Lord, you fulfill our lives.
Yes.
Strengthen us in the Spirit. Lord, for all of us who need healing in our bodies tonight, all of us in these mortal bodies that need healing, Lord, you're a healer. Lord, we're calling upon you. And Lord, we have not changed our minds about that. Lord, you're able to heal us of whatever is wrong with us. and make us all we hold. And Lord, we ask you tonight to do that. For everybody who has a situation, Lord, Sister Nancy has a situation. Lord, you're able to help and deliver and make a way. Lord, you're a way maker. Lord, you're a way maker for all those who need a way made tonight. Lord, you're a way maker. Lord, we thank you. We glorify your name. For Lord, you just walk up with a way. Lord, you make a way out of no way. In the name of Jesus. For all those, Lord, who need things settled. Lord, I pray, Lord, you draw them nigh unto you, Lord, and draw unto us, all of us, Lord. Lord, draw unto us all the people who need their mind self, need a way, need a word. Lord, bring the people into this church and into New Covenant and to Emmanuel and all of our churches. Bring the people who are lost and looking for a way. For Lord, when I was lost one day, Lord, you led me to faith them. Lord, do for them the same thing you did for me. Lord, when they come, Lord, meet them with the Holy Spirit and with the Word of God. Lord, give them a word, O God, that is pure and a word that is gentle and a word that is easy to be entreated, O God, in Jesus' name. Lord, move among us, O God, and bless all of us. Bless the man, Lord, as he prepares to go on the trip. Come on, man, I pray for you because you leave tomorrow. Keep him in Jesus' name. And all those through the summer and all our travels and ways we're going and what we're doing. Lord, bless him and keep him. Fill him with your Holy Spirit, O God. In Jesus' name. Keep him in health and keep him safe from all hurt, harm, and danger. In Jesus' name. Lord, see him safely there and see him back. And keep him in the love of God. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, bless his dad in Jesus' name. Lord, bless this church and every church. Bless the people and be with us. Lord, increase us in the word of God. Lord, cause us to stand fast in the liberty wherewith you set us free. Lord, I pray, Lord, for where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And Lord, we thank you for your goodness and thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your glory. Lord, I thank you for everyone who's with us tonight. I pray, Lord, you just bless them real good in Jesus' name. And Lord, we'll give you all the glory, all the honor, all the praise in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Jesus, amen.
And the people of God say amen.
Amen.
Thank God for all of you. And I pray the Lord this